Hey, welcome to the Gooder Podcast. I'm your host, Diana Frike. As partner and CMO of Retail Voodoo, an award-winning branding agency, I have met and worked with some of the most amazing women in the naturals industry, food, beverage, wellness, and fitness. And as such, I decided to create the Gooder Podcast to interview these great subject matter experts and have them share their insights, passions, and expertise in helping businesses all around the world become gooder. So today we get to talk about something a little bit new. We're going to talk podcasts, taking risks and being true to yourself. And we get to do that with a friend. I can even say even a little bit of a mentor. Molly, is it Ruland? I don't even think I've heard your last name. Is it Ruland?
It is. When I was like 18, my mom told me it's actually Ruland, but I told her she was way too late on that. And I was sticking with my original.
Yeah, right. All right. How fancy. I'm going to call you that from now on. You maybe shouldn't have told me. So Molly, she is the founder and CEO of Heartcast Media and has spent the last 20 years elevating and amplifying voices through the community, art, music, and culture. Heartcast Media was formed in 2018 to create a sustainable podcast production offering for businesses, brands, and think tanks and organizations with a message. She currently produces content for NATO, the Department of Health, the DC government, and several podcasts for the Atlantic Council and more. She's very fancy. And Molly believes that listening is the revolution, and she aspires to make the world a better place with intentional content. Well, Molly, welcome. After three times of trying to get this started, welcome.
Oh, you! Thank you very much for having me. It's really nice to be here. I always enjoy talking with you and seeing everything that you're doing. So, you know, the honor is all mine. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. So now, for those that don't know, well, many of you probably don't know you. This first time you get to meet Miss Molly. I met her when she was living in DC, and just recently, in the last several months, moved to Costa Rica. So those of you that are watching on YouTube can see the lush greenery behind her. That is her new, maybe temporary, but for now it's her new jam. It's her new location. How's it going down there right now? What's the weather like?
It's hot. It's super hot. It's, you know, right before the rainy season is going to hit. And so the wind sort of stops for a couple weeks and it's just like, you know, DC in August hot. So lots of sweating.
So you're comfortable though.
Yeah, you know, lots of, yeah, I'm like, I know this feeling, you know, it makes the beers taste better. So it's fine.
So before we get into too much of some of the meatery that I want to talk about, why don't you tell us a little bit about Heartcast, how it came to be and kind of, you know, why it exists.
Yeah, absolutely. I formed Heartcast Media in 2018 after owning a multimedia company for the last 20 years. That, you know, was successful, but it wasn't sustainable. And so I realized that nothing can be truly successful if it's not sustainable. So after reading, you know, the five page, you know, or the one page marketing plan by Alan Dibb, and there's a quote in there where he says, if you can't leave your business for more than 6 months and still have a business, you just have an expensive hobby. And those words really hit because I couldn't leave my business for more than 5 minutes without somebody burning the building down. And I just decided that I wanted something different. And so I really dialed in on, you know, I Marie Kondo'd my life, right? I looked at what brought me joy, what didn't. And I dialed in on the things that I really love, which is amplifying and elevating voices, like getting behind the camera, helping people to reach their goals, like being very specific about, you know, creating what is the goalpost? How do we get there? What does success really look like? And then creating opportunities to do that. And so I closed the other business, which had really been more focused on hyper local music and community art, music and culture, right? That's where all of that came in. And I closed that business and I formed Heartcast Media specifically to bridge the gap between very expensive content in the business world and feasibility. So, you know, in the music world, you've got like young kids making whole videos and movies with iPhones and teaching themselves how to edit on video software for free using a bootleg computer, like no resources, no help, no nothing, creating this amazing stuff. And then in the business world, you know, they'll pay Ted from IT $10,000 to make a video. And it's just like, there's this huge chasm in between those worlds. And the content coming from the creative world is so much better than the stuff in the business world. And I thought, well, I have an opportunity to bring this skill set to the business world and create content that's actually sustainable for businesses to maintain. You know, if you do 3 podcast episodes, but they cost you $1,500 each, like, it's going to be hard for you to maintain a season or a second season. And as you know, consistency, you know, and longevity is key. You're not going to build an audience with 3 podcasts, you know? And so if you're looking at having to spend $25,000 to produce 3, I mean, that's just not realistic. And so I wanted to come in, and I'm very passionate about video. So I really wanted to bring in the video element and bring that into the business world, because I think it matters. And so that's when Heartcast Media was formed, was, you know, dialing in on, you know, the IP that I had created from, taking so much content in and filming and editing and audio and video, and then making that into something that really fit where I wanted to put my energy, you know, especially with politics and everything, with Trump being in office. Also, you know, the stakes got a little higher, you know, from after 2016, especially being based out of Washington, D.C. Like, you know, it's really great to elevate and amplify amazing music, but like, I just felt like it was time to dial in on some bigger messages that could reach more people. And it just sort of fit where I was in my journey, you know, as a, you know, young, you know, club kid, graffiti writing, you know, derelict into being a whole adult, you know? And so that's, you know, the origin story of Heartcast Media.
Well, so let's talk about this just before, you know, you wanted to grow up and you've got this whole like moving into the grown up seat, but you were doing One Love Massive. And I got to be honest with you, I only have like about this much of a knowledge of what you were doing before, but we now share some social networks, and I can see that like that is part of your DNA, is part of your love and blood. And talk about that a little bit, and maybe where that influence, you know, what transitioned over, what was that all about?
Well, One Love Massive was the multimedia company that was really focused on like local music and creatives. And for me, I think, you know, at the core of it, it comes from just wanting to be seen and heard myself. You know, I grew up in a family where I was basically invisible, and I'm just, you know, when I find something that I really like, I want everyone else to have it too. When I find a restaurant that I like, I want to tell everybody, you know. Yeah. When I hear music that I like, I want to share it and like text it to people. Like, that's just who I am at the core. And so for me, it was all about love for the local community and not working with big artists, but making sure that the creative community was being supported. Yeah. And so it was always about putting money in their pockets. And so it is a big part of my DNA. I grew up in a very musical household. I grew up like playing multiple instruments and knowing how to read music. Very big Irish family. So I played the concertina and the tin whistle.
Oh my gosh.
And the whole, you know, and I come from a long line of bootleggers and bartenders. When my family, literally, and union organizers. So when my family immigrated from Ireland originally on both sides, it was because of the potato famine. And my dad's side went to New York and ran illegal booze up and down the coast. And my mom's side of the family landed in Scranton, Pennsylvania. And actually, one of my great, great cousins was one of the 10 men that was hung on the day of the rope in Scranton, Pennsylvania for organizing unions.
Really?
Because the coal barons were taking terrible care of the people working for them. So it's in my DNA to like break the law and give a shit about people.
Yeah.
Like, it's just who I am. Yeah. You know, like, I don't think there's anything I can do about that. And so when I see injustice, I always want to fight it. And when I see things I'm excited about, I want to share it. And I feel like DC is a microcosm of all of those things. There's so much inequity. There's so much displacement. There's so much gentrification.
Yeah.
But there's also so much passion and love and go-go music. And like, people, and we're just cut from a different cloth. Like, if you say good morning, we're gonna say it back, because we're not New York, you know. And so, you know, it's just, you know, I wanted to love back the city that loved me. And so that was really, you know, for I mean 20 years is what, you know, from DC to California and back again. So
really, man, it's so funny. Like, I meet these people. These people like you, who like just like something happened in their family history, and somehow that rabble rouser or the organizer DNA just kind of sinks in. And I feel like it wants to just like, it almost accelerates, you know, like I have the same thing too. Like my family's got some really interesting background, and when the more I hear about it, I'm like, oh, I'm like that too, except for amplified. Yeah. Definitely. So maybe that's why we connect so much, is that we're a little bit of troublemaker in a good way. And you're probably a lot more than I am, but I'll just...
You never know. You never know.
Well, so I just thought it was funny because, you know, I'm looking at your background and it's like you were in the mortgage industry and then you were in the event industry. Now you're in the podcasting. You're just like, you are all in and not afraid to take risks. Like this is like the thing that you're doing. And is it like a passion thing? Is it you just follow your passion or do you do it even when you're afraid? Well, I'm going to say to the person who just moved to Costa Rica, like, yes, you seem like just like I'm going to do it anyways because I got to do it.
Well, you know, it's a combination. I moved out at 17 and never went back home. And I was born with a rare congenital birth defect. And so I basically have really weak bones and I wasn't supposed to live more than 20 years. I had of doctors at Bethesda Naval my whole life, you know. And I moved out at 17, had my first surgery at 19 and another one at 31, another one at 33. And so for me, like the different adjustments were based on survival, right?
Yeah.
And so
okay.
You know, was in childcare for a little while, realized that just wasn't enough for me. And then I got a job in a mortgage company. I was sleeping in my car in the parking garage, got a job in a mortgage company and outworked everybody else and learned the industry and became a processor and crushed it. And then I did whatever I had to do. I bought a house at 23. I sold it at 26. I mean, I've had to reinvent myself because when you have a spinal surgery like that and you don't have any family support and you don't have a trust fund or any savings or anything else, then you have to do what you have to do. I mean, I was a business manager for Toyota. I was a secret shopper for hotels, resorts, and casinos and traveled around the world under fake names. I mean, I've lived.
That kind of sounds like fun.
Yeah. I mean, I've lived a pretty fascinating life, you know, but you know, I think the 13 years in real estate finance at such an early age, because I didn't go to college, but I learned a lot about money and fake money on paper and corruption and, you know, everything else that comes along with the subprime mortgage business. Because, I mean, I was in the thick of that. I was in the 90s, you know, and so... you know, a lot of it was just survival. When you have a spinal surgery like that and you're knocked down, I mean, in 2006, I broke my neck bartending. I was bartending one night a week. I know everyone thinks it's like a Coyote Ugly story, but it just snapped because my bones are really weak and like the pressure washing dishes and looking up. Like if you really think about what bartenders do, it's like really heavy on the neck.
Yeah.
And my neck snapped and I was in the hospital. I broke a vertebrae in my neck and like a week later had surgery. And then a year later after that was rear-ended. And then I was in physical therapy for three years at NIH after that. And so, you know, I've, you know, there's been times when I couldn't like put on my own pants or my own socks, like never mind go to work. And so I have followed opportunities when they came and I just learned how to survive. But I always, really enjoyed what I did. I like challenging things. I like the mortgage industry, and you know, and then in, you know, I formed One Love Massive in 2001, but it was just sort of a side project. And then in 2009 is when I really like put all in, and just sort of, you know, go where the opportunities take me and the things that I am excited about. I mean, you know, not having a family support system can be really tough, but it also can be really great because I don't have anybody else's self-limiting beliefs or expectations of what they think I should become or what I can't become or any of that. And so I've lived a life that really served me, that was filled with like beautiful people and music and art and, you know, all kinds of cool stuff. And so I don't know if it's like being brave or if it's just literally surviving and wanting to do it in a way that's, you know, enjoyable and filled with love and intention and compassion, right? I mean, One Love Massive, Heartcast Media, you know, like it's just at the core of, I mean, everyone wants unconditional love. Everyone wants to be happy. Everybody wants to be heard, you know? So I feel like that's the core of all of it, really.
Let's kind of talk about, you know, what we're here to talk about. Well, we're really here to talk about you, but let's anchor it around like this whole podcasting thing. You and I met, of course, and, you know, full disclosure, HeartClass right now is my biggest fan and also the resource that I use to develop these podcasts. And as I've been in the industry or doing these recordings, I'm noticing just the mass proliferation of podcasts. And I want to, I mean, I think obviously in the last 12 months, COVID has accelerated it because people have wanted to just be busy and do something and find different ways to get content out there and have exposure. But it was kind of already growing before that. It wasn't like all of a sudden out of nowhere. Is democratization of ideology and content, or you know, from your side, what are you seeing? Why are podcasts the rage? And I'll just leave it at that.
I think, you know, it boils down to accessibility, right? Whether it's physical or your messaging or whatever, and we're so limited by 123 characters or whatever it is, and it's just you can't express who you really are as well as if you just get, you know, hear someone's voice. I mean, even here in Costa Rica, right, everybody uses WhatsApp, but no one sends each other texts. They send voice messages. So you hold the record button and you leave a message and then you listen to it, then you record yours back. And so you're having these clips of, because the intention is there, you can tell if I'm being sarcastic or if I'm upset or if I'm mad, which does not translate well in my writing, apparently, I've been told. And so, it's that same idea of like, feeling more connected. Like, I want to know who you are. I I want to have a longer conversation about shit. Like, you can't get it done in a tweet and you can't get it done. You're limited by these things. So I think that it's this idea of like, you know, pirate radio, right? Where it's like, you know, there's no gatekeeper. Like, you can create content and you can, you know, get it to a million people in one day. There's no reason why your podcast can't be heard by as many people as you're willing to pay to get it in front of, right? Or just be really creative. Where 10 years ago or 20 years ago, I mean, you couldn't just broadcast your message to the globe without paying like a lot of money to do that, right? So I think it's a combination of like, you know, on some level, is there a little bit of narcissism? Possibly. But the reality is those podcasts don't make it past one episode because they're like, it's like this selfie, like, oh, I want to have a podcast. I want to feel it. Yeah. I want to look that way. And then they do it. And they're like, this is so much freaking work. This sucks. Yeah,
it is. It is some more work than people might think.
Yeah. And then they're like, and two people listen to it. I'm out, you know? So like, if you actually, it's like 10% of the podcasts that exist in the world are active. That's it.
10%. 10%. Right?
It's pretty bad. And so it's like, there's so many in the directory, but like, did they ever come back? Did they get past six episodes? No.
Really?
You know, has they posted anything? Well, 10% of the podcasts in the global directory have posted anything within the last 30 days.
No.
So I would say that's because it's one of those things where if you're starting for the wrong reason, you're not going to get out there. But if you're being really intentional with your content, right? And I mean, I use you as an example all of the time because it's such a great success story. You were like, you know, I want to do this for the business. I'm not sure what's going to happen, but I want to commit to this. I want to do it the right way, you know, and then look how quickly you saw results. You know what I mean? Like being strategic about who you're interviewing, right? Like some of those earlier conversations about like, who the hell am I supposed to call to do this thing, you know, and just, you know, defining what success looks like and then knowing how to go after that and under, you know, what do you want to happen? They're like, okay, it's working. What does that mean? Do you have more email addresses? Do you have more discovery calls? Do you like, what are you trying to do? You know, because I think it's a great business development tool. And then from accessibility, like, yo, the days of everybody flying to Orlando to go to like a convention that nobody can afford. And like, who fucking wants to go to Orlando again? Like, Christ's sake, man. I went to Orlando twice before the pandemic. I'm like, I'd really like to go to Ireland or something, right? Like, not Orlando twice and staying in a $300 a night hotel room because I don't want to take shuttles every, you know what I mean? Like, you know, overlooking the lovely parking lot, you know, like it really leans into, you know, the stuff that you and I are passionate about. And that's like diversity, right? Like, yo, not everybody can afford that. And not everybody is physically capable of that. People have anxiety. People are in wheelchairs. Like, it is so privileged to do all this shit that requires so much money and effort and commitment and time off. And it's just really audacious the way we've been doing things. And a podcast allows an opportunity for you to connect with people and talk to somebody from around the world, even if it's just a person you're interviewing. That's a, you know, doing business development dinners or sending people to this convention and that, those days are kind of over, and a podcast can replace that. So I feel like it's just savvy business, you know?
Yeah, well, so then how do we translate that? Like, you know, we can talk about folks like me, smaller on the business side, or even individuals that are trying to do something more. But when we're looking at, and we can look at really any size, we could be looking at, you know, a startup CPG brand, or we could be looking at somebody like Frito-Lay, like there's no difference. How are how are you seeing brands using podcasts at all? And I don't know if it's, you know, more of a content creation or guesting or even just simply advertising. Like, is there opportunity to connect for those brands? And who's, I'd love to know who you think is doing it well, and regardless of what business category they're in.
I mean, I think you're doing a great job of your, I think you've done a wonderful job. I really do. I think you've accomplished everything you've wanted to. I think that there's so many different ways to use a podcast, right? Like, you've got internal communications. Like, do you have big hunky products that are annoying to explain? Are you trying to reach your staff and nobody wants to read the letter from the president? Like, internal private podcasting, like that's a whole, private RSS feeds. Like, that's a whole thing for just internal communication. Because then, you know, you can listen to it on your way home and you're not really impinging on your employees' time, and someone's sure. more likely to listen to it. And you can hear, you know, if your CEO is like, you know, genuinely gives a shit or not, you're going to be able to tell, right? And so, you know, there's just so many different ways. But, you know, that's the one thing that I always like talk to clients about first is like, okay, you know, if you just want to have a podcast because everybody has a podcast and like everybody's telling you you should have a podcast and it's great for business. Okay, cool. I'm glad you're committed. But like, that's not it. Like, that is that you're going to be one of those 90% of the podcast that's chilling in limbo, you know? So what does success look like, you know? And right now, I think we're all kind of caught up in this TikTok generation of like, oh, I need 1 million hits. Like, no, you don't, man. Like, all right, if you're doing this for business development and you want one new client a month, okay, like, how many people do you think needs to listen to the podcast in order to compel one person? Like, you don't need 1 million downloads. It's like a misnomer. It's kind of, it's unfortunate because then people feel like it's not enough. I don't have 1 million downloads. I don't have, you don't need that, right? So like, I have one client, they do geospatial satellite mapping. And they talk about GitHub and like all the shit I don't understand, you know? And they were like, yeah, we just got 1,000, you know, unique listeners after like a year. They did like 42 podcasts, right? And they're stoked about it. And I was like, that's impressive. I didn't think that many other people cared about what you guys are talking about because it's so specific. You know, it's so specific to like, you have to be an engineer in geosatellite mapping to understand anything that they're talking about on this podcast. But the reality is if you are looking to hire a corporation to do that for you, don't, you know, and you got a $5 million contract, don't you want to give it to the guys who are so passionate about geospatial satellite mapping that they like talk about it in their time off on their podcast that has 43 episodes, right? Like, you know, so that 1,000 listeners could get them a $5 million contract, right? They don't give a shit if they're trending on iTunes. No one should give a shit if they're trending on iTunes, quite frankly. Like, what, why do you have, you know what I mean? Like, what does that even mean? What does that even mean? Trend on YouTube, you get plays for your videos at least. iTunes is just taking your content and then giving you this fake accolade of 1 million downloads. Well, those 1 million downloads, like, it doesn't matter. It's a trap, right? Like, why do you want to, do you want to have a podcast for visibility? Is it for business development? Like, are you trying to woo new clients? Are you just trying to maintain your current client base? Do you want to interview success stories from your biggest client? You have to figure out what is the goal of the podcast, not just that you want to do one. You have to really define why. Do you need more clients? Are you trying to not spend any more money with old Zuckerberg? Like, what? There's no wrong answer. You just got to know what it is, you know?
So I think you said a couple of things that I think are really interesting. One is the intentionality. Like, I think just like any business or marketing objective, kind of going, okay, well, what's the end goal here? I also think the whole like downloads and is so much like social media, you know, on our side, totally. when we're doing brand development, a lot of people are hung up on, well, how many likes and clicks and followers that we have. And we said, and we always come back with, it really doesn't matter. Those things don't actually convert into actual business and sales. So you have to be careful with what you're doing and kind of use those downloads as a barometer that you're headed in the right direction, but not necessarily valuation of success. Like, the success is the conversion and what you're attracting to you. Is that an accurate assessment?
100%. Because, you know, the numbers can be misleading and it's a trap. You know, it's just like anything, you know, you get them. Facebook, you post something, you think it's hilarious, no one likes it. You're like, what the hell, man? That was so funny, right? So, you know, it's just like this negative reinforcement, right? Like, if you don't have the numbers, you're going to think, oh, man. But, like, you don't need them. I mean, I have a podcast, and way back before the pandemic, I interviewed him. And I just, because I think he's a fantastic human being, and I'm just fascinated. He has a social justice for-profit company. He's changed the world. He's the most amazing, nicest person I've ever met in my entire life. So I want to have my podcast. And I read everything he's ever written, and I listened to every podcast he was on, and I got him in my studio, and I asked him about when he was, you know, Sonny the Clown and Sackett Harbor in high school as the mascot. And he was so taken aback. But I just really wanted to ask him questions that nobody else had asked him, because I was genuinely curious as to who lit that fire. And it was such a great, compelling conversation. And now, like, I literally love that guy. Like, he, you know, he's my number one client. They've sent us so much business from a financial, I mean, there's probably like 50K worth of business since that interview 2 years ago. But not only that, but like the other day he emailed me. He was like, I just want to let you know I love you and I hope everything's okay in Costa Rica. And that's a client. You know what I mean? That's a client. That's someone who I really respect, who literally like said those words to me. And I'm like, I am so great, because he knew like who I am, because I spent that time to really get to know him. And that's the thing you're really good at too. You're a great interviewer. You ask great questions and you make people feel heard. And so they want to continue to be around you. They want to continue to work with you. They want to connect you to other people who are also great like you. And so that's what a podcast really does. Like, you know, like, who are you interviewing? Why are you interviewing them? Like, what's the point? What are you trying to show about yourself to your audience? You know, because they're really, you're the only consistent on your podcast. You're the only one that's there every week, right? So they got to like you. And you never know, like, who's going to, you know, it could be a dinner next week and they're like, oh, we need a CPG brand. And they're like, you know, I listen to this podcast. You should you just never know where, you know, and so you don't have to have a million downloads. You know, 1,000 of them over the course of a year could generate significant amount of business. So, you know, if you're looking to get famous on iTunes and that's your only reason, that's a whole different conversation. But if you're trying to create a podcast for your business, you know, realistic expectations will highlight the collateral benefits of podcasting so much easier than if you have this idea that you're going to get like 500,000 downloads or something. Like,
yeah, I think, yeah. The thing that's super trippy about podcasting for me is between being on podcasts myself as a guest and then hosting a podcast, I will meet new people who will have listened to me and will, I'm coming into the conversation or the relationship new, and they already feel like they know me. Right, and so there's this comfort level that they have with me already. And sometimes somebody will reach out to me having heard something that I recorded a year ago. Like, it's not just the most recent thing. It's like, oh, I heard this conversation and can you connect me to this person or et cetera, et cetera. So it's kind of a weird ecosystem to be involved in. And I think from a, business and a brand development standpoint, I'm curious, like, I would love to find out. I don't know of any brands that I can think of that are like doing, I'll call podcast branded content that they own like this out to the consumer base. I haven't seen any, but I don't think it's because wouldn't be successful. I think that they're more comfortable with something like advertising because you can get a report that says this many impressions and this many clicks and this many podcasts is not quite as tangible, and already in a marketing arena when you can't have anything tangible, people get a little squidgy. But I think there's room there. I think there's an opportunity mm-hmm. that's been untapped.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you know, podcast advertising revenue is expected to hit $2 billion. I read a stat yesterday that said it's going to advance more in the next two years than it did in the last 10, you know, because, well, yeah, brands are realizing that, like, advertising on podcasts is the way to go. Like, people are, you know, listen, man, we all sat home with the pandemic and watched, you know, the you know, all the, you know, Facebook documentaries about how they're, you know, sucking our blood dry and reselling it and not even giving us a cut of it, right? And so everyone's sort of like thinking again, and like, you know, George Floyd and Black Lives Matter, and just really like, yo, where am I putting my money? Like, what do you do? What do you like? You know what I mean? Like, what's going on? Like, what, you know, like, it's every, the world has changed, you know, the world has really, really changed. And so, you know, I just think it's a, you know, I mean, there's definitely companies doing it, you know, like FreshBooks, which is like a QuickBooks, you know, they have a podcast, you know, How I Make a Living or something like that. You know, there's some companies doing it, but I think it's the next frontier because people really are getting sick of social media. People really are tuning out from that. And I think that, you know, I listen to a lot of audiobooks too, and like, they make me feel better, especially being in Costa Rica and being so far away, like putting on a book and having another voice in the room and getting excited about it and looking forward to listening to more of it. You know, those things really matter. And so it's that personal connection. It's like you said, people feel like they already know you because they've been listening to your voice. That's personal.
Yeah. Well, and you share these anecdotal, especially when you're talking with somebody or you have a relational moment with somebody and you're like, oh yeah, that happened to me when I was three, or I went there too. And suddenly you're kind of like dripping these little things about you that people can connect with that they just can't otherwise.
Cause yeah, when are you going to get an opportunity to be your true authentic self? Like, not when an interviewer from the newspaper calls you, not like they're going to butcher the shit out of whatever you say and pick three sentences that weren't even grouped together.
Exactly.
And you're like, what? Who's, what? I didn't say that. And then, you know, you know, nobody gets to toot your own horn or just show who you really are, right? And that's the thing. You're not talking about like retail voodoo all day on Gooder, barely at all. But you don't need to because people know that you're like the matriarch of retail voodoo. And so if they like you, they want to know about your company and they want to work with you.
Excuse
know
me? It's
the
a queen.
Queen. Yes, the queen. You know, and so, yeah, it's all relative, right? You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure, you know, you've gotten business from the podcast. I mean, it's, you know, I think it makes a difference.
It does. Well, I want to talk about this. Listening is the revolution. You know, I want to kind of just shift massive gears here because I want to kind of get into a little bit more about you, you know, step away from podcasting. But Listening is the Revolution is about you as well. So what does that mean? And what do you want it to mean to others?
Err on the side of compassion. That's the short answer. If you listen to someone, you can't hate them, right? You can say, I think you're an idiot, I disagree with you, but you can't hate somebody. And when I formed Heartcast Media, I was like, I want to make the world a better place, like one conversation at a time. And that was in 2018. And then over the course of, you know, 19 and 20, and just watching the United States fall apart because of the political divide and the racial divide and everything else. And it's just like, man, that statement just never rang any more true than like, you know, I'm not a huge fan of Trump fans, right? But like, if I could sit with them and they explain to me that they're hungry and they're losing their farm and they just give a shit about their grandkids, and I can't hate them anymore. I can still think you're a freaking idiot for voting for that guy, but you're just a misinformed idiot, and I can't hate you, and I can't be cruel to you, and I can't say horrible things to you on Facebook, like the things that I saw other people saying. And it just changed. It's like err on the side of compassion, man. Like, you know, every single one of us has got some sort of a struggle. And so, you know, that's one thing I like about podcasts is you can't interrupt. You can yell at your phone or whatever, but they can't hear you. You know what I mean? You have to listen. And I think that's hard. I think as a nation, as a society in whole, we all need to lengthen our mental elasticity. And we are all like keyboard warriors, and like we're just like listening to speak again. And I really feel like that is a lost part of our civilization, is the ability to just listen, you know? And so I think if we could dial more in on that, you know, even if it's somebody you don't like, you know, I'm not saying somebody's outwardly racist and stuff, but like, you know, just, you know, like have some compassion, listen to each other. It's really hard to hate somebody if you listen to them, and you never know, maybe you can help, or maybe you can provide some sort of perspective that'll help them, right? Because at the end of the day, everybody's just broken. I mean, I really do feel that, you know, I mean, all these poor people that believe these QAnon conspiracy, they're so upset because they think it's true. And if I thought all that stuff was true, I'd be upset too. I just know that stuff isn't true. But like at the core, they're hurt people. They're just hurt people who think they're doing the right thing. As crazy as that might sound, you know, we can't push people into corners. We can't isolate anymore. You know, we have to listen, you know. We might not hang out afterwards. You might not change my mind, right? But I can at least be civil.
Yeah.
And try, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, that's just further reflection of you were kind of in the thick of it. DC is just, that's what it's all about, right? And you were kind of in the center of the hurricane. No, that would be the quiet part. You were like in the actual storm of, yeah, of a hurricane all the time. I've been to DC. Well, I've been to Baltimore a few times, in DC a few times. And every time there's anything big politically, it's just like a shit show. It's just, you know, wind and everything's blocked off. And it kind of, I think the people that live there probably accustomed to it, but when you're there as a visitor, it's like super disruptive. And
sure.
And so by nature, politics is disruptive. It'll be interesting to see how the next few years goes. Oh my gosh, that's another 12 podcasts. That's,
I know, exactly. That's season 2 of Gooder, season 4 of Gooder. Yeah.
So I, you know what, I have loved getting to know you, you know, during this past year as we've been working together, and kind of getting, you know, getting this whole idea of owning your content, whether you're an independent person or small business or even a massive brand, that you have much more say and control than we'd like to believe. And I think sometimes we get caught up in the, like, I need a flashy agency, or I need a, you know, multi-million-dollar influencer in order for this to be legit, or for my coworkers to find this to be credible effort. And I think podcasting is so simple in its nature. And I think that there's a lot of opportunity for growth there. And it's fun to see that you could be either really, really broad or really, really narrow and focus on like the rocks of Mars and be totally successful either way.
Yeah, because there's people who are also equally fascinated by the rocks of Mars. And so find your tribe, you know what I mean? Get it together. Yeah, I do love that, because podcasting is simple. It's not easy and it's not cheap, right? It, you know, everyone's like, oh, you can do it from your phone. There's a reason why only 10% of podcasts are active, because they recorded them on their phone and nobody wants to listen to that. But, you know, you just, you know, you got to be, you know, authentic to yourself, right? And find your voice and find a way to share that with as many people as possible. And I think there's value in that, especially now we're all coming out of our houses, seeing the sun again for the first time. we're a little banged up. We need some coddling. People need to see you and see you're doing it and then feel good about what they want to do. You know what I mean? So I do like the simplicity of it, you know, at its core. It's just these conversations that you get to listen in on, and you just never know. You know, it's like with audiobooks, like I'll read a whole book and there might be three things in there that made me go, oh, you know, and those three things could change my life. And maybe the other 400 pages didn't resonate, but those three things are going to change my trajectory. And that's how I feel about podcasts too. You just never know what thought or situation or perspective is going to like create that moment for you. So,
yeah, I think on that note, if you haven't listened to Kevin Hart's that he has on audio, what is that called? The audio player, Amazon's audio.
Oh, right.
Kevin Hart came out with something and it is hilarious. And it's personal development, but it's told through the Kevin Hart personality. And you can't help but just love that. You just can't. On that note, there's a plug, Kevin. Do you hear me?
That's right. Wherever you may be, right?
Wherever you may be. Hey, before I wrap things up, I always like to ask my guests just kind of a few questions. So I'm gonna go ahead and ask you these two. So I love it when a guest can tell some sort of interesting fact. I call it a happy hour fact that people can share about. It can be about DC or Costa Rica or podcasting or anything. What do you got for us?
Oh man. Okay, this is super random, but it's okay. The world's longest palindrome. Do you know what the world's longest palindrome is? You know what a palindrome is? Where it's like spelled the same. This is so random. It's go hang a salami, I'm a lasagna hog. Somebody told me that one time and it stuck, and you never know, you might win like $1 million on Jeopardy with that one. And I just find it to be really funny. And you do too.
Okay, gotta say it again. Say it again, but say it a little slower.
It's go hang a salami, I'm a lasagna hog. Okay. I don't know who figured that out, but that poor soul needs to get out of the house more. But
oh man. Okay. Well, check that box. Okay. Yeah.
You never know. It could win you trivia night at the bar or something, you know?
Never know. All right. Who are some women leaders or even rising stars that you are watching right now? What are they doing?
You know, I am a big fan of Asha Abuega. Like, you met her from Mason Dixie Biscuit Company. She's just such a firecracker. I love me some Asha. And you know, Shelley Bell with Black Girl Ventures, you know, a client of ours, actually, she just got funded by Nike for $300 million. She is out here getting women funded, you know, because historically speaking, Black women get less than 0.2% of VC funding, you know, which is atrocious. And so I really respect both of them because they are like the I don't give a fuck kind of woman that like bulldozes the whole scene. And they're both beautiful and they're both, you know, ridiculous. And they're both like, you know, talk whatever shit they want, but they're out here making real change and they're getting it done. And they're shattering this idea of what a successful woman is supposed to look like, talk like, feel like, think like, all of that. And so I love what they are doing to every room that they walk in. And I encourage more women to just do that and be yourself and just be unapologetically yourself all the time, because that's what's going to make people fall in love with you, whatever that is, you know?
I love Asha. She reminds me, like, if I was to make a t-shirt for her, it would say, I have had enough. Like, I feel like that's the shirt that she would be walking around wearing with a crown and a scepter. Like, right, I just feel like that's her.
She's amazing. I mean, it's crazy. I met her in, you know, her shop was in DC, and just like what she did with Mason Dixie in 2 years is like, yep. I don't think people fully understand how insane what she's done is in 2 years, you know, and now it's been 5 years or whatever, but just in, you know, like what, you know, yeah, smart she, lady. Super smart, man. And just, you know, resilient and a survivor and just, yeah. I mean, you know, I'm definitely really grateful. Luckily I know both of them, but you know, really like you don't need to know them to, you know, watch their podcast and fall in love with them and see what they're doing for sure.
What trends are you watching right now? And this is, of course, outside of our category, but what are you watching right now? What's happening in whether it's branded content or media or podcasting or related? What's happening? What are you watching?
I mean, I think the biggest trend right now is going to be dynamically inserted podcast advertising and doing like media buys. Like, I think, you know, the old school industries are drying up and it's shifting over to podcasting. And I think that, you know, people need to get aware of that. So even if you don't have a podcast, but you have a business, you should be advertising on podcasts. Mm-hmm. And you should be really active on being guests on other people's podcasts. Because like Clubhouse, for example, which I hate, because it's just a bunch of people being like, thank you so much. Now let me tell you about me. And I just can't, I can't handle it. Right. But there's obviously a need for that. And there's good things coming out of that, but that it's not going to last as long. So if you found some success on Clubhouse, you know, go get on some other people's podcasts because you'll get the same reaction, except it'll be a much more dedicated conversation. You're not going to be standing in some line, like, you know, you can get your message across. But I think that podcast should be a part of every single business's marketing strategy, from having a podcast to having your top dogs be on other people's podcasts and to advertising your business on podcasts. And if you're not messing with those three verticals in 2021, you're going to get left behind, period, point blank. So that's where I would put effort.
You know, what's so interesting, I can tell you, I've had so many men reach out, want to be on the Gooder podcast. And right now, the way I have it formatted, I'm just really focusing on women in leadership, and it may change in the future, but for right now, this is the way it is. But I can, women decline being on the podcast mostly because they feel like they have nothing to say or nothing to contribute. And I think it makes me so sad, because I think there are, it's just kind of a further, for me, it's just a little bit more reason why to keep going and doing what I'm doing, is because we still, mm-hmm. we put too much pressure on ourselves. And I think that businesses and organizations can encourage their folks to participate. Then I think then we can start normalizing this kind of, you know, de-genderify. I don't know if that's even a word, but anyways, we can kind of normalize it. So,
yeah. Well, if you do a Gooder podcast for men, you could just call it Good-ish and then let me back.
Yes.
I'm just kidding, guys. Yeah. You're great. It's fine. Well, I'm just saying. I mean, and that kind of touches on for me, you know, this idea of imposter syndrome. And I've been like cursing. I fucking hate it. And I hate that every women's event, it's like half the speakers are talking about it and how to overcome it. I'm like, why are we I've had a really hard time articulating that. And then I read this article, I can't remember, it's two women's names. It's on Medium. It's the title says, "Stop Telling Women They Have Imposter Syndrome." And it breaks it down in like words that I'm not smart enough to come up with. But basically, imposter syndrome implies that there's something wrong with the person instead of the environment. And that's bullshit.
Interesting. Yeah.
Okay. The environment is what's flawed. It's sexist. It's racist. It's classist. Okay. White dudes and men see examples of themselves almost to the T, down to the Dockers and the
tassel loafers.
And the loafers, they see people who look like them succeeding. They are not questioned in the same that way that women of color, people of color, and women are. And so this idea that there's something wrong with us, oh, I'm feeling insecure, there must be something wrong with me, let's dial in. Right. No, there's nothing wrong with you, man. We just need to put more women in positions of power and leadership and pay us more. God damn it. There's nothing wrong with you. And so, you know, yes, go on that podcast. Go on that podcast. And maybe it'll suck, but who cares, right? And everything I do is in a win, you know? Like, I'm not everybody's jam. I'm sure some people are gonna listen to this and be like, oh, she's great, I wish she would curse less. Well, I'm not. So okay, so I'm not for you, and that's cool, and I'm not gonna change who I am, because that's who I am, and I'm passionate about these things, right? And so there's nothing wrong with you. And if you are having those doubts, like, there's nothing wrong with you. This is society showing its whole ass. That's what it is. Everything is built this way. Every woman has something to say. Every woman is valuable. Every woman should be heard. And so, you know, I say this all the time to people. I say, listen, if you're feeling a little, you know, unsure, just channel your inner white dude and just pretend you're good at everything and go do the damn thing, because you need to be heard. And every time, you know, you or I get in front of an audience and I am myself and I don't wear what they want me to wear and I speak the way I want, I inspire women in that audience to do the same thing. And so it's like, you know, women in the podcast industry, stop devaluing yourself. Stop taking shit pay to do editing podcasts because you're making it harder for every other woman in the industry to survive. You are not helping any of us out. So if you're throwing events, stop talking about imposter syndrome. Stop fucking talking about it. Stop devoting half of the women's events to imposter syndrome. We don't need to talk about it anymore. You should talk about imposter syndrome being a toxic, you know, racist environment to the men who are creating it. Stop talking to women about it. So if any woman is listening to this and thought to themselves, I don't have something to add, it's bullshit. You do. And like, do it, man, because you need to be heard and other women need to be heard. So, you know, I hope that Gooder always stays woman focused. And I'm really glad that you don't make a big deal about it. Like, you just do it. Because I think if you're going to champion women, you shouldn't have, it's like taking a picture of yourself giving somebody experiencing homelessness money. Like, why are you, it's the wrong reason. You shouldn't have to advertise that you're celebrating women. You're just doing it. Right. So I think it's awesome. And, you know, you can have some dudes on here. I don't hate all men, just most of them.
You're hilarious.
I don't hate anyone. I'm just kidding.
There is. Here's the thing is, I have no issue with men at all. What I'm trying to do is, of course, normalize the fact that women are equals. And I know we say it, right, but it doesn't show up that way quite yet. And so no. I'm just like, let's just keep doing it. This is not anti-man. This is not anti cisgender man. It's just, listen, diversity comes in a bunch of different ways. And we cannot, from a business standpoint, we cannot take care of all the people who are marginalized if the only people that are making decisions are the ones that have all the say. Like, you can't, there's no ecosystem. There's no symbiosis there. So,
right. They don't want things to change. It's working out really well for them. Why would they want it? Why would you rock the boat? You know what I mean? Of course, they're not going to change things. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, I think the thing is I actually think they think it's working out well for them. But the reality is that if we normalize and we give everybody value, it actually works to everybody's benefit. Like, if you're older white men and you're straight and you give other people authority and you give them opportunity, it doesn't actually, you don't lose anything because when you elevate everybody else, then the water rises for everybody.
Exactly.
The water rises for everybody.
Right. All worthy boats rise with the tide. Exactly. Well, I love it.
Well, thank you. How are you keeping yourself safe or not safe? How are you keeping yourself sane these days?
I am working out for an hour every day. I'm meditating every day. I'm taking Spanish lessons every day and I'm doing intermittent fasting every day, Monday through Friday. And then I act like a heathen on the weekends and it's working out for me pretty well. I've just recently bought some canvases and some spray paint to create some artwork. So I have some familiarity here. And really, you know, I'm looking at the pandemic, you know, the pandemia, as they say here in Costa Rica, as, you know, an opportunity to really work on myself. Like, we're still not out of the woods yet. We're still kind of in our basements. It's not going to change for at least another 6 months. I mean, if you're fully vaxxed, that's cool, but not everybody is. So we can't, you know, jump back in the fire. But I feel like instead of coming out of this, you know, ready to like start something, I want to do it now. There's a lot of downtime. I've never had this much like authority over my own schedule and time. And so I'm spending an hour a day working out. And then, you know, I'm putting that time in every single day so that when this thing ends, I come out of it like stronger. Right. And it's not about losing weight. It's about literally being stronger because you know, we have a whole lot of trauma that we haven't even touched yet. So, like, we're all excited to go back outside, but everybody forgot they've been cellar dwellers for the last 16 months, and we're all a little weird, man. Yeah, it's hard. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. My gosh. Okay, now, if people wanted to learn about HeartCast or have you on as a guest or just learn about podcasting or video recording or anything, how do you like them to get a hold of you?
You know, if you go to heartcastmedia.com and you go to the podcast page, there's like tons of opportunities to schedule a call with me. Our social media, you know, HeartCast Media, everything, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, all the things. you know, just hit me up. You can find me anywhere. I have access to all those pages. You know, you can hit me up anytime. I love getting in front of more women. I love getting in front of audiences of any kind. And I'm really excited about talking to businesses about how a podcast can really like increase their bottom line. So, you know, if anybody's interested in that, like, please let me know. I enjoy talking about it. And I'm usually pretty good at illuminating a path for people that makes sense and gets them excited about the process. So
definitely a good coach. If I was to use the word coach, definitely is what I would say. For those who are afraid and uninitiated, you are the coach.
There you go.
Sure. Oh my gosh. All right, girl. I am so jacked that we had this time together, and I thank you so much. I'm really looking forward to finding my way down to Costa. Actually, I was looking at trying to come down there between December 25th and New Year's Day. I just started looking now, and of course everything is pretty much booked up for my family size, which is crazy time, but so it'll have to be later on.
Well, and that is the most popular like week in Costa Rica, is that Christmas to New Year's. It's like I looked last year because I was right when I came down here, and the flights were like, you know, $400 normally, and like $1,900 that
week. My gosh.
It was like what is going on? So we'll find a way.
Well, it'll happen. Girls weekend, something's exactly. Gonna happen.
Hardcast Media, you know, retreat, whatever.
Oh, ooh, I like it. I like
it. Put some microphones out and be like, it's business.
Excellent. All right. Well, we'll see you next time, Miss Molly, and to everybody else, thanks for listening.
This episode is sponsored by Retail Voodoo, a creative marketing firm specializing in growing, fixing, and reinventing brands in the food, beverage, wellness, and fitness industries. If your naturals brand is in need of positioning, package design, or marketing activation, we're here to help. You can find more information at retail-voodoo.com. And so there you go. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. And if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to this channel and share with your network. Until next time, be well and do gooder.